I want to say good evening to everyone, and want to thank you all that are present with us on this afternoon to hear another portion of God's Word. We want to continue with our letter from Peter, but also we want to show the message, how it correlates with even this morning message from Brother Brooks talking about those that are false teachers, as was mentioned this morning in his Word, and we want to connect that with what Peter says. We want to extend a welcome to those that are visiting with us that may not be members of the Church of Christ. We want to say to you, as Jeremiah realized in Jeremiah chapter 10, Old Testament, in verse 23, where he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." So man, a woman, must realize that they are on earth, but they are not here to lead or direct themselves when it comes to spiritually. But God has given us the Bible, to which it is the avenue that God has used for man to go from earth to glory, to heaven, by doing those things, being obedient to the will of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So that which we ought to seek is the kingdom of God, which Jesus shared with Nicodemus in John 3:3, when he answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so that which one is to see, that which one is to seek, is none other than what Luke wrote in Acts 2:47, when he said, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So that kingdom of God is none other than the church that the Lord will add those to. And so as I close the message on this evening, those that may be listening that's not members of the Lord's church, according to the Bible, we will share how that is taken. And so in Acts chapter 2, excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 2, after writing to those how the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, Peter warns Christians against false teachers that are among them. Note, he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, closing that chapter, he says in verse 20 of 2 Peter 1:20, "Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." In other words, those scriptures that we read is not one's own explanation. He says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So he talks about those men, holy men of God, that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then as he gets into what we refer to as chapter 2, he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people," Old Testament, "even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." So Peter says to them that among us there will be false teachers that will bring in damnable heresies, or they will bring in opinions that are erroneous, personal preferences into the church, and they will, those things that they share are, when he said damnable, they have eternal punishment to those that do such. And so I want to share with us just on the one thought about false teachers, couple of points to make, and the message will be yours. In Acts chapter 20, We want to see that this happened to the early church in Acts chapter 20. And the verse is number 29. Acts chapter 20, and the verse is number 29. Luke wrote regarding what had transpired, what Paul has said. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock being the church." Also, he said, notice what he says, "Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things or things that are not honest, things that are not moral," he says, "to draw away disciples after them." He said, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day," he says, "with tears." And then he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are," sanctified. So Paul said that he had spent 3 years with them, and he warned them, which is responsibility of any gospel preacher, is to warn those through the word of God. And Paul said he did it night and day, and he did it with tears. So we find that that there will be those that will rise up in the congregation, and the purpose, as Paul said, was to draw disciples after themselves. And then back in Peter's letter, Peter says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." So we got to be watchful. When preachers try to give you a license to live worldly, because what they're trying to do is to draw disciples after themselves. And Paul Peter says, "And through covetousness," that's their purpose, "covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." Talk about the members whose judgment now of a long time linger not, and their damnation summeth not. So what Peter was saying, that their motive is greed. They want to unlawful gain, Peter says, and what they'll do is make merchandise of the member. How do they do that? Peter said with feigned words, or they will make up. The word feigned in this context means plastic or not real. They will make up things in order to be soothing to your ears, saying those things that are not consistent with the will of God, to draw disciples after themselves. And Paul said that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he said, "For the time will come," well, Paul, Brother Book said, "Morning, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables," or unto that which is not true. So Peter's warning was to those individuals that share things that are not in the scripture, those things that are not consistent with the will of God, and the purpose for it was to draw disciples after themselves. Those things that they are sharing are not consistent in the will of God or not in the word of God. And we find, going back to Acts chapter 20, want to share the consistency of the word. In Acts chapter 20, back in 20, pick back up at verse number 33, where Paul, when he talked about himself as one who preached the word of God, He said, after he told them that the word of his grace, God's grace, can build them up and give them inheritance among all them which are sanctified, he said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. In other words, it's not for money. He said, yea, you yourselves know that these hands, Paul said his own, had ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul was a tent maker by trade. And Paul said, these hands have labored and took care of my necessities. And then he said, I show you, verse 35 of Acts 20, all things, how that so laboring, notice he gives reason why we labor. He says, so laboring, you ought to support the weak. He says, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the teaching point for Christianity is that we labor, not all of our labor is for ourselves, but our labor, as we've shared before, is Jesus said, the poor shall be with you always. So sometimes our laboring, our working is to give to those that are less fortunate than us, because Luke wrote that the Lord himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we find that when it comes to those that Peter is talking about, those false teachers, those people, he says, again, he said, be mindful of their pernicious ways. Be mindful those ways that are destructive, those ways, those words that they use. Peter says, those words, that, notice he says, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy. You know, you got to be careful, those in the Lord's body, when men come in, and what the word means privately means they'll come in quietly. And what they do, they'll try to place what is not true or what is plastic, they'll try to place it next to what is real. And if you're not careful, it will sound as though it is real to you if you don't know the word of God. And that's why we said in previous lesson where Peter said that he will put you in remembrance. We have to know the word of God. How do I defend myself against those that are false teachers? Well, I find in Acts chapter 17, one example, Acts chapter 17, how do I guard myself, as Peter said, there shall be false teachers among you? Well, the Bible shares with us the word of his grace in Acts 17. And I'll begin at verse number 10. He says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Notice verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so I'm saying one way that we guard or protect ourselves against false teaching is we have to search the scriptures daily and be willing to question something that you hear that sounds that it is false. It's not, it is plastic. It's not real. It's made up. That to soothe your ears, as Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 4, those things that are smooth things to your ears, well, you need to question those things. And so one of the things we do is we question it by searching the scriptures daily. And then another thing Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 2 and verse 15, he said to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Notice, rightly dividing the word of truth. So Paul, Peter, even though he talked about those false teachers, then and how they would do and how they would make merchandise of those that are Christians because of their covetousness and because of their smooth words making merchandise of them. But he closes, I will close on this afternoon in verse number 4. Peter says, for if God spared not the angels that sin. And notice, when you are a false teacher, that is sinful. Peter said, but cast them down to hell, or Hades, and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. In other words, they would be punished for their wrongdoing. Peter said that God, if God did not spare angels who did wrong, God would not spare anyone that does wrong and die in that state. And we don't repent of our sins. We don't acknowledge the wrong that we have done. And so, as I close, want us to know, as Peter said, they have false prophets among the people. We need to know that there shall be false teachers among us. So how do I correct that? I go to the Word of God, and I read the Word of God, book, chapter, and verse, and get an understanding of those things, what's in the Word of God. And if you are now, and this was talking about those that were false teachers in the Lord's church, but also we know that someone teaching in denominationalism, that is error of false teaching also. And so to correct that, for one to obey truth, you must understand what truth is according to the scripture. So how does one become a Christian according to Acts 11:26, a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ? Well, we find the example that in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, and the Bible records in Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So I want to put on record, one must obey the gospel. The gospel consists of three facts: that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. Now, he suffered on the cross first, and he died on that cross. That is the gospel. One must obey that gospel. How does one obey that gospel? Well, in Romans chapter 6, Paul reminded them of their obedience to the gospel. In Romans 6:1, where the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I want to go on record of saying anyone that has not obeyed the gospel is still in their sin. So Paul, asked the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The Bible says, God forbid. How shall we, notice now, that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So again, Christ died for sin. We are to die to sin. How do we die to sin? Verses 3 and 4 of Romans 6. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So we are baptized into Jesus Christ by being water baptized into his death. And then he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So again, what happens? Christ died for sin. He was buried in the tomb. He rose again the third day. We die to sin, We are buried in a liquid tomb. It's called baptism, water baptism. And then we rise up, as he said, to a newness of life. Now you're a Christian. You can walk with the Lord. So one must hear the gospel. One must believe the gospel. One must repent of their sin or turn to Christ through the words of God. You must confess, Acts 8:37, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then be water baptized for the remission of sin. Then the Lord, as we read in Acts 2:47, will add you to the church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the scriptures. And so I thank you for this afternoon for listening, that there shall be false teachers among us and how we ought to deal with that. Thank you very much.